Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen, and on today's show, we are in part four of our series of Acts chapter 5. If you tell a lie, I think you'll cry.
And then you'll die.
So, goodbye.
Welcome back to New Every Day. Thank you for tuning in again this week. And I just want to say thank you to all the people who are watching every week. Even if you can just tune in sometimes to check us out, that's awesome. But for the people who are watching every week, we just want to say thank you. And some people have come up to us in our own community and let us know that they are encouraged by watching this. And that just really encourages me, Jen, because yeah. I know how I feel sitting here talking to you about God, and how I just, when you speak the words of Scripture and talk about God like He's real in your life, that's what bolsters your faith. And so I really value this time, like we've said so many times before. Mm-hmm. And Robbie in Category 5, just want to say thank you so much. So,
and just last week, tuning in. Somebody said to me, so, like, is it a podcast? And I said, well, no, but if you have the Stitcher app, you can listen to it as a podcast.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really cool that somebody came up to me, because obviously they were wondering, is there another way of listening yeah. to the show if I can't sit down and watch it? Like yeah. if I'm driving to work, can I watch it sort yeah. of thing? And at least I'm guessing that my friend Mark was asking. And I'm like, yes, if you have a Stitcher app. And we want to say thank you so much to all of our partners who help. If you go to our partners page, there are so many areas where you could help support the show by just clicking. And I make a, whenever I go to buy a book, I actually go to our website and click on the Amazon link yeah. and go through that way, because every purchase that I make on Amazon through our link, we get support from.
Yeah.
So we really encourage you to do two things to help support us. One, would you please pray for us? It can be really, but it is difficult to tell people about the Word of God, because the enemy says, oh yeah, I'm going to make your life difficult. Like, he just starts raising up things. So pray for protection for us, and also just that we would know what to say and what would bring encouragement to you. But also that through people supporting us through our partners page, that the cost would be offset, because yeah. it is quite expensive to put the show together. So thank you so much for those of you that are already doing that. And thank you to those of you who are like, oh, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, our Patreon partners who help pay for the show. By each episode, they donate a quarter or a dollar.
Yes.
And so, go from there.
So thank you so really much. Good. So here we are, Acts chapter 5. We think this will probably be our last show in this particular passage.
Depends where the conversation goes.
And that's just it. So we're not going to guarantee you that this is the last one. So we're going to just jump right in. We've read from different versions each week just to help you hear it differently. First week, NIV. Second week, New King James. Last week was New Vision.
New Living?
Thank you.
And what's this?
This is the NRSV, New Revised Standard Version. What's interesting about this, when I took my hermeneutics class, which is basically preaching class in seminary, my prof said, I would like you to have a New Revised Standard Version. So according to that particular prof, he thought that's the way to go. So
okay, so
I, in order to help me learn Greek and do sermons, NRSV.
NRSV, so here we go. Chapter 5 of Acts. But a man named Ananias, with consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God. Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Tell me, whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead. So they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard these things. So we've talked about, we've looked at the beginning of the passage, talked about what was going on, and now at the end of the passage, both Ananias and Sapphira mm-hmm. are dead. I remember someone telling me one time, "Oh, he heard the words and it shocked him, so he had a heart attack." Well, no, the words did not shock him. He died because he lied.
Yes,
and that shocks me. So we're talking about in this final episode, perhaps, why did they actually die? Why so severe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, it was punishment, right? For what they had done was wrong. But why, Jen, is it important that this discipline happened early in the church?
Well, I want to look at a couple of things. And it's interesting. Gary and I talk about a lot of things, but she said, why did this happen so early in the church?
Yeah, like, would that not be like a turn off?
Okay, so this is from Leviticus chapter 10. It goes like this. Aaron's son Nadab and Abihu took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. Now, the Lord had just commanded them. Just commanded them. I want you to pick up on that. They had just commanded them. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" Aaron remained silent. So Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle, and said to them, "Come here, carry out your cousins outside of the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary." So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp, as Moses ordered. And it says, "Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the house of Israel, may mourn." And it's like, I want to get back to it because it was so early. It was so early in the Israelites coming into an understanding of who this holy God was, what it meant to worship him in his holiness. Because before this, they were a nation, but they didn't worship him corporately.
Okay.
Right? Because at this point, right, the Lord has gathered them as a nation together, has brought them out, and he has given his laws and commandments, and now he's setting up the priesthood. So he's setting up the way things should go. And here they are at the very beginning, right? And I think it's to set a standard. It's to say, look, if you're going to follow me, you will follow me in holiness, not out of your own whim. It's not about what you want. It really is about what I want. And we jump ahead to 1 Kings. And let me just find out where this talks about. Basically, the Ark of the Covenant had been had been lost in battle by Saul to the Philistines. And so David, when he became king, went to get the ark. He did not follow how he was supposed to get the ark, because according to scripture, he was supposed to put it on those carrying poles, and people were supposed to carry it.
Okay, but
when you read the passage, it says, so this is chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. They set the ark of God, so this is verse 3, they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might, like there was a party.
Yeah, it's good.
And it says, verse 6, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day the place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And it's just very interesting because it caused fear. The fear. And in the passage with Nadab and Abihu, it caused fear. And this is right at the beginning of David's kingship.
Interesting.
And so when Carrie mentioned, why so early at the beginning, I believe that God was setting a standard. This is how I will be worshipped. And so he was saying to David, like, because David's responsibility in becoming king was actually to read the book of the law. Like, when they set up the book of the law, the king
was supposed to read it.
Every king was supposed to read it. And so David should have known. So either he hasn't read it, or he read it and didn't pay attention to it, and God takes that seriously. And so it's just very interesting that in each of these cases that we read so far, the person died immediately. Like, there was no room for intercession. Like,
yeah.
Like, they knew. They knew what it was. And so when we jump ahead to Acts chapter 5, and it says, you know, how could you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out too. And at that moment, she fell down.
Immediately, she fell down and died.
And died.
I do remember the first time. I remember the sentiment, the feeling I had the first time. I don't remember when it was, but reading about Uzzah and being like, what? Like, same kind of maybe reaction that David has had, like, I am afraid of this God who can act this way, but and there is no one to tell God whether he has done right or wrong, because he is good and everything he does is right and good.
Yeah.
And what if this dude, like, he put out his hand because it was reflex? And yet the holiness of God was there, and it's he died because he a not holy man touched this.
So the question is, and we're going to leave this with you before we go to break, is did God do that to cause people to fear, be afraid of him, or to make a statement about what the fear of the Lord is and what he desires? So we'll be back right after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name. Ooh. So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back. After that short break, Jen asked why the fear of the Lord seized the people when they saw when Uzzah died, when he touched the Ark of the Covenant, and when Ananias and Sapphira died, that there was a great fear that came across
yes.
the people because they were realizing that a holy God was acting. And I want to read to you Psalm 96, starting at verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Mm.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Mm. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Mm. Mm-hmm. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously.
Mm.
Worship the Lord in the beauty, some would say in the splendor of his holiness. And what does holiness mean, Jen? Like what? Like I want to hear how you describe it.
When I think of holiness, the word is often like you are set apart. And there's, so set apart, but also... there's no sin. Like, there's a perfectness. So, I'm a Free Methodist. Like, I'm a Christian, but I worship at a Free Methodist church, which is part of the holiness movement, which is basically a call to the people to, because God says, be holy because I am holy. So we take that very seriously, that we are to be strive to be without sin, right? It's like we are not to be happy when we do sin. Oh, well, don't worry. God's grace will cover us. Our sin is to grieve us, and we are to strive not to sin. We believe that by the grace of God, we can actually willfully choose not to sin. And so because God calls us to be a holy people, set apart for his purposes, and because God is a holy God, unless we are holy too, we cannot be with him. Now, the blood of Christ is what makes us ultimately right to be with God, but we are to pursue holiness. We are to pursue, it says, throw off the old self, right, and put on the new self, that holy lifestyle. And I think not only is it because we know that it is the blood of Christ that covers us, that makes us right with God, but I also think it's the holy lifestyle that speaks to other people.
Yeah, and not like we got it all together, but I kind of see it as like, and this is where worship comes from, is recognizing our position in relation to God.
Mm-hmm.
That he is to be revered and honored and worshiped because he's the creator
yes.
of the universe and the one who made us. And yet humbled himself to become a man and die for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the love and worship comes to a father who would love us that way. And yet the awe, the adoration is for him who in his infinite knowledge made us the way
mm-hmm.
that we are.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. But realizing our position in relation to God, I think is
yeah.
where that comes from.
Well, and I was doing some reading prior to our filming, and this is from a website that said, my favorite definition of fear of God is awe mixed with intimacy. This is J.D. Greer, so JDGREEAR.com. We are invited into the closest possible relationship with God, but this intimacy must never overshadow the majesty of God.
Yeah.
So it's that deep intimacy. And the thing is, when you truly know someone, there is like, I just think of, I want to say, some powerful men, like just big strong men, and yet when you know their heart,
or see them playing with their children.
Yes, you're just like there's a, that's you awesome. See, right? Yeah. But you know the power of what is possible if they were wronged. Like, you just know. So there's this element of intimacy, like knowing their heart.
Yeah.
But it's also mixed with, I don't want to mess with them.
Yeah.
Because I know what they're, but because we're in relationship, they're not going to hurt me. But I wouldn't want to mess with them. Mm-hmm. And not that you even have a desire to mess with them.
Yeah.
But you know what could possibly happen if you did. And not that they would. Yeah. Well, they could physically harm you. Let's just be totally honest. but that's what it is with God, right? It's
yeah.
like, wow, like you are such a kind, loving, amazing, awesome God. And you've chosen to love me. But I also know your majesty and your power and your justness.
Yeah.
And that. Not that I'm seeking to wrong you,
yeah.
But I know what would happen if I did wrong you.
And, like, I know we're supposed to daily die to ourselves, mm-hmm. taking off the old self, putting on the new self, which is being renewed to reflect the image of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And when I think of David, like, why was he a man after God's own heart? He knew how to worship. He had fear of God. He did a lot of bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of what came to mind was, that as soon as sin was recognized, he was quick to turn back to God.
Yes.
And so, like, that makes me realize that, okay, when God highlights something in my life, that I do lie about certain things,
mm-hmm.
that I need to be quick just to turn back to him.
Yeah.
And then the awe of knowing that he is all powerful and he can strike people dead. It's in the Bible. He can do it. And yet the love coming from Christ that then covers my sin.
Yeah.
That's where worship happens.
And so we go back because we just want to finish up with Acts chapter 5. And because I think it happened so early because God was setting the standard.
Yeah.
Because they were being an example. Like Ananias and Sapphira were claiming to be a part of this church, being an example of what it meant to be a Jesus follower. And God was saying, don't you dare set this kind of example. Like, don't test me in this. Because they were testing God. Because that's what it said. How dare you test the Spirit of the Lord?
Right. So that must have been maybe some part of their motive if Peter was highlighting that, right?
Yeah. And so as a result, God's like, don't test me. Like, and there are parts of the Bible, like especially in Malachi, where it says, test me in this, right? He's like, it talks about giving your first fruits. And
yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
Test me in this.
Because you'd be doing what's good.
Yeah. So he's like, don't test my grace. Like, that's, I think, what he's saying. Like,
that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Don't test my grace. Like, let's see how far I can go, or let's sin and think that I won't get found out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter's saying, don't test the Spirit, because you are going to get found out. And, you know, I think sometimes we can spurn the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in one of my seminary classes, and they were talking about one of the fathers of the faith, and who would say, if you're going to sin, sin big, because, you know, you don't want to spurn God's grace. And I was like,
what?
No! Because in their mind, sin was sin. So, you know, just sin big. And I'm like, no, don't sin at all.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. But unfortunately, some people can think about that, think about sin that way, because they're like, well, if
God's... Go big, go home. I've already gone this far. I might as well just throw in the towel.
Right.
It's like eating bad and like working out. Like, I'll work out tomorrow. If I already had this bag of chips, I might as well have the cake too. One piece of pizza, I might as well eat the whole pizza.
I really wanted a snack when we were done.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't have a good reason for it, because I'm
just
not hungry.
Don't have more. Okay, we won't just eat till midnight. Anyways, but
the fact is, they tested God, whether that or not they believed that they could get away with it, or they believed that God really wouldn't do anything, like maybe they wouldn't find out, or God wouldn't do anything, or maybe they didn't really believe that God was real. I don't know. Like, I just don't know, because we aren't there. We aren't inside their head. We really are just two people sitting here in 2016. This is when it's being recorded, whether you see it in 2017 or 2050. It's 2016. But here, we don't know. We are totally guessing at what's going on. All we do really know is that it was wrong.
It was wrong, and God intervened. And yet, it, you know, there's a proverb that says, if you chasten or if you discipline a wise man, they become wiser still. And like this is there and as an example to us. And Paul also said the Old Testament is there as an example to us that we should follow and choose to follow God because it's the right thing and he loves us.
Yeah. And Ananias and Sapphira chose to test God and they lost.
Yeah.
And the good thing is God's grace does forgive. So you might be thinking, oh, I've tested God many, many times. And sometimes I've even felt like I've gotten away with it.
And you'll hear some people say, oh, lightning's going to strike me. Or, oh,
yeah.
You know, he very well could. And by his grace, he doesn't.
Because yet by the grace of God, there I go.
Yeah.
And so you might be thinking, oh, yeah, I've gotten away with lots of things in my life. But the thing is, God has actually chosen he's protected you from the repercussions of those sin, of what could have happened.
Yeah.
Because even this week, I heard about an incident where I'm like, God, you could have intervened in that, and why didn't you? Or why does God intervene sometimes and not others? And it's only by the grace of God we do not know his plan. So we encourage you today that if you feel like there is something separating you from God, don't take his grace for granted. Get on your knees or stand to your feet and reach out to the Lord and say, God, I am wrong. I have wronged you. I have tested your grace. I have stood before other people and claimed that I was one thing, but really when I was another. And so, Father God, forgive me. Forgive me. And he will.
Mm-hmm.
So we really encourage, like, this is, I want to say, a declaration to the church. Like, don't test God. Be real.
Be real.
Let God raise you up. If you're struggling in whatever area, acceptance and belonging, you're needing to get some sort of affirmation, like, let God do it. He wants to. Don't try to be wise in your own eyes, is what Proverbs 3:7a says. Or, yeah, 3:7a.
And, you know, it's very interesting that looking at what Jesus, when we're talking about lying, and he's talking to the Pharisees, just before, or in Matthew 23, he says, woe to you hypocrites. You do one thing, but you mean another. Or woe to you hypocrites. You mean one thing, you do something else. And that's lying. And he these are also the people who were striving to be righteous by doing works of the law and not believing. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you find life. But those are scriptures that talk about me.
Mm.
And we're righteous by faith in Christ. So we don't have to strive to keep the letter of the law, because he's written the law on our hearts. And isn't it interesting that, you know, that Ark of the Covenant that was holding the law represented like the presence of God, and yet now he says, I've come and I've written my law on your hearts.
Yeah.
And he comes and lives inside of us now and gives us a new life and a new heart and the desire to follow him.
Mm.
So why don't we just pray, Jen, and we'll wrap up.
Yeah.
God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We look outside, we see it. We look inwardly, we see it, and how you made us so incredible. And thank you that you made each viewer and each listener so special, so unique, so wonderful. And you have chosen to do that. You've chosen to give us life, and that in itself is a gift. Each day is a gift, God. And you say in your word, though the righteous may fall 7 times, he gets back up again, and we choose to get back up again after we've come to our knees and repent, Lord, to say that we have sinned against you. We do sometimes not tell the truth or do things with false motives. So we repent of that, God. And at the same time, we say, thank you, Jesus, that you came, you died for us, you rose again. And we just choose to put on your righteous garments so that when the Father looks at us, he sees you and what you've done on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we go and we are going to carry your name and represent you to other people. Would you help us, God, to do that? We submit ourselves to you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. What a full passage in that beginning part of Acts chapter 5. I've never taken apart like that.
I know.
So I really am thankful that you tuned in and that we got to chat like this, Jen. So yeah. We hope that you have a wonderful week, and we are going to see you back here next week.
So until then, ta-ta.
Ta-ta.